Yeah, 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 yeah. Making her way to the mic. They start dimming the lights. You start feeling alright. From Birmingham, home of the Teddy Longs and the Ruben Studders. More once you discover. For all of the lovers, Whitney Houston and Roman Reigns. For all of the lovers, Mickey James and Marvin Gaye. For all of the lovers, Sasha Banks, Janelle Monáe, Silk, Sonic, and Paige. Allow me to say. Look, I just found a place, sweet escape. For every one of us, I was kinda late. Cause I just made it off the struggle bus. Walking by the faith, cause I know it's right in front of us. Yo, I ain't with the hate, gotta focus on what's great. Ladies and gentlemen, Steph Hardy is on the air. Had to drop a couple bars just to make you all aware. So, sit back, relax, enjoy the show. You know, I go by Joe or the rest of you.
Hey y'all, welcome, welcome, welcome to a new episode of the Hardy Wrestling Podcast with your girl Stephanie Hardy. I am, of course, the host of this fabulous platform, writer for Daily DDT, as well as color commentator featured on the Belladonna Division, Battle Club Pro, Black Girl Magic 2022, and Spartan Wrestling. But tonight, I am not alone on this wonderful Tuesday. I hope you guys are doing okay because the cold has just taken over the country, but you know, we're doing fine and hopefully it'll warm up later. But of course, I am here with someone very special, someone who is an incredible women's wrestling talent. She is ranked number 185 on the Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Women's 250 that came out towards the end of last year. She is also an ISPW Women's Champion and the Brie Combination Wrestling Women's Champion. And she has held many different titles, and she has worked in 10 plus different promotions. She is a hard worker and she is an iconic figure already. This is Vicious Vicky. How are you, Vicky?
Thank you. What a hell of an introduction. And you were right. You hit everything on the head, man. I'm great. Thank you for having me. Like I said off air, but aside from getting over the flu recently, I'm doing pretty good otherwise. So yeah, I'm excited to be here tonight. Thank you.
Absolutely. And I love giving intros to guests and of course making them feel special, especially when they give me so much that I want to talk about and so much that's so interesting. So I was just like, you know what? This is all of her things and I'm going to list them right now. So that's what I do for everyone, but you definitely deserve it. So yes, I'm so happy to have you on my show. So I'm going to ask you, when did you fall in love with wrestling?
Oh my God. So, I was super young. I was like 3 or 4 and my sisters watched it growing up. So I kind of grew up with them in that like pre-attitude era. And my very first memories are of Stone Cold. And again, it was like right on the cusp of like when the attitude era really broke out and he started, like, he just transitioned to that, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin character and everything. So he's like my first like love and my first like memories of mesmerizing me into wrestling. Cause I just thought it was this coolest thing as a little 4-year-old, like what's he doing? Like, this is so cool. You know, he was just like badass and like breaking the rules and like, it was great. So my sisters definitely were a huge influence in me to where I am today. So.
Okay, that's cool. Like, you and your sisters watching Stone Cold at the cusp of the Attitude Era. Like, that's amazing. See, for me, I was an only child, so I was watching with my dad, and he was watching sort of like a back and forth between WWF at the time and WCW. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Growing up, I was kind of a WCW girl, and the Nitro Girls were my first favorite. Yeah, but yeah. Stone Cold is a very solid fave, because the more I got into WWF, I loved The Rock. And so watching those two fight each other was sort of like the intro to a huge rivalry that I had ever seen at that point. So I was like, okay, well, yeah, this is it. And these two guys are fighting because they just oppose each other all the time. And one of my favorite matches that they ever had was at WrestleMania 19. That was the first WrestleMania I ever saw. Hell yeah. And Yeah, those two fighting against each other for the final time was a huge, huge deal. So those are two pillars of the 90s for sure, and pillars of now when you think about it.
I mean, look at The Rock, you know? He comes back and it's like everything changes, you know? But yeah, so that was like my first taste of it, but like I don't know if you're gonna ask this question, but it just ties into why I love wrestling, and what got me into it. So it's like what ignited it even more. I was about 7, I think, when Lita debuted, and that was it. Like that was just, I mean, her name's tattooed on my neck, like that's my girl. Like, you know, she I just when she came out with Ester Rios, even it wasn't even the Hardys yet. She wasn't in her full form yet. And I just fell in love with her. Not in a weird way. Like in a just like she is so cool. She had the tattoo. And you know, as a little girl, you see that and you're just like, well, that's really cool. I want to be like her. And dyeing my hair red for years to come. And you know, wanted to be her as much as I could. So that was what the Hardys and Lita were like, what really made me like truly wanna do it too.
Absolutely. Lita is a nice person. Like, I remember the first time I met her, I was just starstruck, number one, and number two, just telling her, you know, how much she inspires me, you know, in women's wrestling period. So it was just like, I can only imagine what it was like, you know, meeting her. 'Cause I did see at one point that you did meet her. Like, what was that like for you?
So I met her once at a PWS show, which is now WrestlePro, in 2013. And this was before I started training or wrestling, but a lot of the guys on the indies, I used to go to indie shows as a kid, so I know a lot of them. They like the veterans. So I had friends in the business before I even really became a wrestler, and they hit me up like, "Hey, Vicky, Lita's gonna be here." I'm like, "Oh my God, I gotta go meet her." So I met her the first time there. It was very rushed, you know, because I was a fan in the line paying, which, you know, I'm always happy to do it, but things were a little different. And this time I went up to her again when she was at Icons of Wrestling, and I was there as a talent as well. So I'm like, you know what? I'm like, let me shoot my shot, man. Let me just go up to her. You know, her line, she was like basically had a break for a little bit because it was just nonstop. And I was like, screw it. I went up to her and I just said, "Hi, Lita." Like, I don't even know what I said because I just was so nervous. I was like, "Hi, Lita." I was like, I'm a fellow wrestler too. Like, just like dumb, like brain farts of like a paragraph. And I was like, you know, you inspired me so much. And, you know, I really don't remember what I said. My friend kind of recorded it because my friend, who's a non-wrestling fan, was with me that day. And I was like, can you like, you'd be ready, like I'm gonna go up to her. I'm gonna do it. Like, this is like a, you know, someone who's, you know, trying to make it. But you know what? Like, we're all fans, and like, I don't think they don't appreciate that. I know that they do, you know. And she was freaking great, and you know, she gave me a big hug. I was like, when I met her the first time, I had the tattoo back then, because I got it in like 2010. I got the tattoo. So my cousin was with me in 2013. He's like, "Show her the tattoo." I'm like, no. This time I was like, "I'm showing her the freaking tattoo." So I was like, "Also, I have something really cool to show you." And I showed her. She took a picture of it and everything. So it was super cool. It was really cool. Humbling. She's super sweet. And just to like have more of an intimate moment with no one around, no one rushing me, like to just like hug her, you know, and tell her like what she probably hears from so many women. But for me in that moment, it meant a lot. So that was super cool.
Absolutely. I know it had to be. And just knowing that, you know, she meant so much to you and getting to hook up with her in that way and, you know, just tell her what she meant to you just had to be amazing. So when did you know that you wanted to pursue it as a career?
So since I was really young, and I have like all this, we've been going through, like me and my family have been going through like, you know, like bins of stuff and like going down that rabbit hole, like just to kind of clear things out. And my parents' house trying to spread things out to what goes to who, what kid, and you know, and just like coming across all these things too. I knew how long I wanted to do this, but like that made me realize when I'm finding all these things from like first grade, like, you know, with like Stone Cold or 316 or like the guns written on like a piece of paper, like the heart, you know, like I was like, oh my God, like. I always knew that I wanted to do it. And that's why I think for me, I look at it in a different perspective than some might, you know. I know a lot of us have been fans for a long time, but for me to sit through like preschool, and this is not a lie, I'm sure my mom's watching because she knows, like from preschool, they always ask you, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Till senior year of high school, like, no lie at all. It was the same thing every single year. Pro wrestler, pro wrestler, pro wrestler, pro wrestler, pro wrestler. To the point where I was in high school, I'll never forget a couple of the, like, people would, like, bust my chops, you know? And I'm like, I think I was a senior, yeah. And a couple of people in the class were like, you still want to be a wrestler? Because I never outgrew it in, like, elementary school. I was like, yes! And I had, I don't know if you know Justin Carino. He's an independent pro wrestler as well. He's been doing this for forever. He's someone that I've known in the business for a long time. Him and his brother were a tag team called the Heavenly Bodies, well, the New Heavenly Bodies. And they were really close to me growing up, super close. And they, Mark was my age and always wanted to be a wrestler too. And me and him were really close growing up, and he pursued it. I remember, like, watching him. Anthony Bowens is another one. I've known Bowens since I was 11 or 12. And I saw him do it. And I'm like, damn, man, you know, and I would reach out to them like, hey guys, like, I think I want to do it. And like, I never did it. I did some youth clinics when I was like 12, 13, just to get a taste of it, because I always wanted to do it. Then life got in the way. Some things happened that I'm very open about and I'll share, that kind of prohibited me from pursuing it earlier. But you know, for me, it's like, there's nothing, I don't know what else I would do. Like, and I get really emotional about it sometimes because I do have a backup plan. I have a, you know, a 9-to-5 essentially. You know, I do understand that I need to be realistic with this type of profession, but I just like the thought of just walking away and not getting that contract makes me like sick. 'Cause it's like, it means more to me than just a contract. It's not just, you know, I'm hot and I want to be on TV. You know, it's, I want to be the next Lita or Trish Stratus or Becky Lynch or like these girls who fight. Rhea Ripley, I love Rhea. She's my new obsession. You know, like these girls are just badass, and I want to be in that bracket. I know I can. It's just a matter of, you know, working hard and getting in front of the right people and just luck. But this is all I ever wanted to do. I don't really know anything else that I've ever wanted to do or be. I just don't.
Yeah, that's beautiful that passion was there, even, you know, when you were young and you go back and look and you're just like, oh yeah, like this is where I said this or this is where I said that. And now it's coalescing in this beautiful way in your adult life. Like there are so many people who say they want to do a thing when they're a kid, but then they don't either. They, stuff happens and they either just don't stick with it, or, you know, dreams change or life changes and stuff like that. But even in your life changes, you know, you still had that in the back of your mind that this is what you wanted to do. And I think that is a very lovely thing that you had that passion, and all the people that you knew, you know, like that's insane that all the people that you knew who have these resumes, like the Carinos, like, you know, Anthony Bowens, like that is pretty insane. You were in really good company in the first beginning parts of your life. So I think that's amazing.
Yeah, no, for sure. And having, and like knowing that I, you know, have that kind of like drive is what makes me not stop. You know, I've been mildly injured. I've never been, knock on wood, like severely injured. That's because I don't do anything crazy. I would play it safe, as I say. You know, because I'm trying to prolong my career because I want to make it to the next level. My biggest thing I would say lately has been my age. I'm only 30. I'm not old. But in wrestling age for women, I might be. And that scares me. You know, I know there's so many different wrestling companies. But that always scared me because I was young when I started. I was 24. So I was at that ripe, perfect age of getting signed and getting opportunities. And COVID, I think I do believe COVID kind of just, because I was kind of getting this momentum when I first started. I had a tryout. I had all these different things I was doing, and then COVID, and then it just kind of set us all back to the beginning. And then you know, I'm just trying to play catch up. I think I am, but COVID screwed everything up.
Yeah, it really did. But, you know, a lot of wrestlers did, you know, start and well, didn't necessarily start, but a lot of wrestlers turned their stuff around and then figured out how to make the time that they had work for them. You know, so I totally get it. Like, I understand COVID sort of messing things up in a sense, but then it sort of, you know, helped people, you know, sort of jump things off and realize, you know, what they wanted to do for real. So yeah. I totally get it. So were you an athlete previously, like before you started wrestling?
Yeah. So I played, and to some people, they say it's the lazy man sport, but it's not. I played softball my entire life.
That's not lazy. Oh, my God.
People always say, oh, I play a lazy man sport. I'm like, it's really not. Like, it's not. It's like a lot of people can't swing a bat and throw a ball really far, you know? But I played that my entire life, like up until I was like 22. I did like women's league softball stuff. In high school, I was varsity. You know, I could have went to any college that I wanted on my list. I hate that I, like I said, life got in the way. If we can totally get into that, I'm open. But I had so many opportunities to go to college, you know, to play. But I did like traveling leagues, fast pitch. You know, my dad was my coach. So that was awesome. So I definitely was athletic from the jump. So yeah, that I played a little bit of basketball too. But softball was like my shtick.
Yeah, that's not a lazy sport, because to me, softball is just another version of baseball, and that takes a lot of conditioning to do. You're running around. Mm-hmm. You're like, you have to have precision and focus in order to hit the ball, and then you really have to like memorize all these different ways to get to your destination. That's not a lazy man sport at all. Yeah. So whoever said that is just kind of lame. Like, I grew up watching baseball with my grandma, and then sometimes I would play with my mom. So it wasn't really something like serious that I tried to do. But I respect it. And I'm just like, anyone who thinks that baseball is not, you know, a sport or not a credible sport, I feel like they're just weird or mean or something. I don't know. But I love baseball. Like, that's like a comfort sport for me. So I feel like real.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I played at the level that you would see, like, you know, like the women on TV, like the college softball. Like, that was the level that I played, that fast pitch, like, softball. And I was a center fielder, so I was the commander of the outfield because I was fast and I had a cannon of an arm, and I'm very proud of that. That's probably why I have shoulder issues, not just because of wrestling, but because of the years and years and years of that long outfield throw that I used to do from freaking deep center field all the way to home plate. Hell of an athlete.
Absolutely. And of course, that feeds into, you know, your wrestling career, I'm sure, because when you're training and you're conditioning for things, you know, and preparing for matches, I'm sure that definitely does help. But before we get into more of your wrestling journey, what would you say were some difficulties that you faced along the way, you know, as you were growing into your athleticism?
So just in sense of like wrestling or just as a whole?
As a whole.
So for me, like, I've always been like taught that like tough love, and like I've always came up with coaching and training, whether it be with softball or even wrestling, but, you know, going based off of my past, it was always like that hard edge, like tough coaching, like if you can't take it, don't play kind of thing, which is what I feel, aside from going through things and hard things in life, I feel like that also set me up for being as strong as I am today as a person, and kind of prepared me for wrestling, because it made me, you know, not sensitive when it came to critique in wrestling, you know, because I came up in a school that was a little like not harsh, but they knew I could take it and I wanted it. So like some of my coaches were like tough love, and like it worked, you know, because I responded to it. Not everybody does, but so growing up with that, I think, is super helpful, but you have to be the kind of person who can take that, because if you can't, then it's not going to work.
Yeah, I understand that. I actually am not a tough love person. Like, sometimes I can take honesty. Like, be honest with me, but don't be so honest that you sort of cut to the bone. And then, don't be mean. Like, that's just the type of person I am. So, I get it. You know, some people thrive in those type of environments. Me, not so much, because I remember growing up, I used to cry a lot. Like, from, you know, like, cry a lot from being bullied and stuff like that. So, it's just kind of like, yeah, mm-hmm. I know. Like, I'd need softness and warmth.
Yep.
But not, you know, 100%. Yeah, so I get it, and I'm glad that you know, strengthened you and gave you tough skin in order to pursue what you want. So I think that's amazing. There's a lot of comments going on as we talk further in our interview. Like, there's a lot of comments. There are a lot of people who love you, and I think that's amazing. So what was the best thing that you learned during your wrestling training?
I learned a lot of good stuff. Probably, like, not to get, like, super down on yourself when especially when learning. You know, my coaches were always super patient with me too, and I think aside from being tough, you still need to have patience with students, and I came from a school that was super patient. So I feel like I learned that anytime I would get, like, really upset or down on myself when I would do something really wrong or mess up, I would get so upset, and, like, they would be like, hey, like, you're learning every day. You're new, like, at the time. You know, don't get down on yourself. Just be better the next time. You know, and that stuck with me. And now I don't, when I, you know, if something gets messed up or whatever, like, I don't get mad. I just don't, because it is nearly impossible for us as, especially the kind of athletes that we are in pro wrestling, it is nearly impossible to be on every time. Like, there's going to be a little small misstep, and sometimes there might not be, because, and that's being a pro, you know, but it's going to happen. It happens to the pros, you know, like, so I think getting that out of my head of getting mad at myself if something gets messed up helps me be better and more confident too.
Yeah, that's a good lesson to learn just in life, period. Because I know sometimes I get down on myself a lot, but then you have to remember that it's a marathon and not a sprint.
Right.
And my crazy butt be trying to, like, sprint towards things. But then, you know, you have to realize that sometimes the slower journey is the best one.
Yeah, Rob always says to me that I'm very ready, fire, aim. He says, yes. You're very ready, fire, then you aim. I'm like, yep, that's me.
Yes, I understand that. That's me too. And that's a really, you know, that's a pretty astute observation. But I do that too. And it can be really, really bad at times. But it's okay to take things slow, because it doesn't mean that you're any less, you know, qualified or prepared for where you need to be. So I 100% get it. So how would you say was your transition from all of the training that you had and going to performing in front of others for the very first time? Like, what was that transition like, and did it, you know, shock you, or was it, you know, a fun experience for you?
Yeah. So I was about, like, 6 months into training when my trainers were just like, go ahead. Like, and not in a bad way. I didn't have, like, a real, like, first time match until probably 8 months in, or seven months in, mm-hmm. to training. But 5 or 6 months in, it might have been 5, they put me with one of their champions as the valet, and just so they could start getting me out there and I can get used to being out there, because they really, like, believed in me. My school super believed in me, and they pushed me a lot. And I went to WrestlePro, Creative Pro New Jersey. And they super pushed me, and they put me with one of their champions, and, like, me and that person, like, toured and went around and did our thing. And it helped me build my own name too. So, I was a little nervous, you know, 'cause I had to remember, like, spots now. Now I have to start remembering things. And as a valet or a manager, like, I have to, like, remember, like, what my spot is in their match. Now it's not gonna avoid it. I just kind of remember things. Like, I don't have to, like, I don't freak out if I don't remember. But then it was like, I was so excited. Like, I'll never forget, like, the day I debuted Vicious Vicky. And it was at a Creative Pro show, well, WrestlePro, in Rahway, New Jersey. And I was a fan in the crowd. the whole show, literally the entire show. I had to sit there. People had no idea who I was yet. You know, I wasn't known yet. No one had any clue who I was. I was front row with a WrestlePro shirt on and an Anthony Bowens poster. And the match was Anthony Bowens versus Nikos Rikos, and it was for the WrestlePro silver title. And I'm in the crowd, and it was pre-main event. So it was the whole, like I said, the whole show I was sitting there dapping it up with the people and being like a super fan. And the spot was, it's floating around on YouTube somewhere. The spot was at the end of the match, towards the end of the match. Nikos comes out and starts jawjacking with me because I'm like, hey, like Bowens rules. I'm a big, huge Bowens fan, you know? And I throw water in his face. And then he pulls me over the guardrail into the ring. And people are like, what the hell? Like, you know, some people are buying it. Some people are smart fans, you know? And I'm in the ring like, no, please, please, no. Which was also cool. Side note, I got to do this with Bowens because he was my friend growing up. So that was really cool to debut with him a part of it, you know? Anyway, so I'm in the ring and I'm like, you know, please, like, no, don't hurt me. And then Bowens, you know, turns him around, saves the day, right? So I'm in the corner like, okay, playing it off. And then Bowens turns around and I freaking low blow him. And then I align with the dude that pulled me over the guardrail. And that was my, you know, story for a while. I was being teamed up with that guy. And that's how I debuted, which was awesome. yeah, so people are like, you know, who is this? And then Vicious Vicky was born. And yeah, so that was always like really cool to like have a debut like that. Like I didn't just debut as like a wrestler, which was fine with me. I was more than okay with that only because it added layers to my story. And I like that. I like that I came up and I was like essentially eye candy, but I could kick some ass too. And then I broke away from that, you know, on screen and in real life. And became, you know, single Vicious Vicky, and then that debut. So I love that was the beginning of my story, and I love that Bowens was a part of it too. So that was like awesome, and I love sharing that. I haven't shared that story in a while.
That is so crazy. Like I'm tempted to go on YouTube and find that myself, because that is an amazing way, like, to make a debut, to turn on your friend in real life. Cool. and just be like, yeah, I'm aligning with this dude who he basically saved you from beating up, like, yep, beating you up. Like that, yep, is insane. And that's a really cool way to debut. But you starting as a valet, then going into sort of like this villain era. Yep. In that way, that is amazing, and I really got to find that, because that just sounds creatively, that's a really amazing thing to like imagine in my own head. So I know visually it has to be cool. So yeah, that's how Vicious Vicky was born. Okay. Yep. So honestly, with that version of that character, you know, where did you get the idea for it to be sort of like this I guess you could say this vivacious woman who really loves New Jersey and has all of this, you know, amazing style with your leopard print and all of that, you know, like where did that inspiration come from? And then yes, I have a follow-up question after that.
Okay. So that's me. That's just like a big part of who I am. Like that character. I'm kind of like, I'm very versatile in real life. So like I have different styles and tastes, and they clash a lot. Like I'm not lying. Like my mother, if she's watching this, will probably laugh when I say this, because I'll go out in like plaid pants like this, cheetah boots, and then like a rainbow top, and like, you know, just a little bit of everything, you know. Like it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't match. I'm like, well, that's me, you know. Like I clash a lot with style, but that's just me. It works for me. I've been doing that since I was in high school. But that character was the way that I was the valet was like this heel bitch, you know, who was better than everybody and whatever. And I transitioned that into my own, like, let me be that, but New Jersey mob wife, Jersey Shore fist pumper kind of girl. And I kind of morphed me with those things times like 100, you know. And it was successful. I was, you know, I was a heel when I first started, and which is usually sort of rare. Usually you're a babyface when you debut, when you, you know, are trying to establish a new character or whatever. So right off the get-go, I was a bad guy, which was fun. And I think like meshing Jersey with Italian and like all these things that I am, it came more natural than like I didn't really have to like think. I know that sounds terrible, but I didn't really have to think too much. I was just like, let me be me, but like a biatch, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds pretty incredible. It's sort of like just you turned up, you know, to 11, and that's just mm-hmm. and that's really, you know, organic, and people can really feel that that's real, you know, when you wrestle in front of crowds, like, okay, like this is her. And you know, and some people might feel that they relate to it, and some people might feel that they don't relate to it, but either way, as long as you believe it and you perform it, then that's really mm-hmm. all that matters. And I think that is incredible. So with that being said, how was the transition from that form of Vicious Vicky into the current form, which seems more like him from the Powerpuff Girls and a demon? Like, how, where did that creative inspiration come from?
So after I was like heel for a while, I became like a super uber baby face in the last couple years of my career. And I kind of was just me. Like, instead of trying to be something, my character was just me. You know, I wore my leopard print. I did my thing. I'm just Vicious Vicky, you know. And while I believed that I was over and people supported me and people cheered for me and people were just always behind me and buying my merch and just over, I know that, it fell flat for me because I was just being me. There was no creativity. There was no more thinking outside the box. It was the same old song and dance. And while it was working, it to me, this is how I look at things, because this is how I was brought up, and this forever stays in my brain with me. I don't remember who told me this, but it always is in my brain. I am not signed, so I'm doing something wrong, period. If I was that damn good and if I was doing something right, I would have a contract. It's just as simple as that. So I don't get down on myself. But I know, like, all right, you've been this for this long. You still don't have a contract. What can we do? What can we do to be different? So then I was like, okay, everybody taps into a dark side at some point in their career. It's just a thing. It's cool. It's different. Now, with a lot of, I don't want to say bitterness, but because I'm not bitter, but a lot of pent-up frustration with, you know, my career not going where I intended to at this time, it ignited, let me go dark. Let me reignite and reinvent Vicious Vicky, where she can be her unapologetically, but the deep side, the dark side of Vicky. Let's get underneath all the layers and all, you know, let's peel off the leopard print. Let's peel off the, you know, the blonde highlights. Let's peel off the nails and the superficial crap. And let's get underneath and show them what I'm really feeling. You know, that's kind of like where the inspiration came from. And just doing something different. Now, here lies the problem. I'm over. Wherever I go, people like me, which is not a bad problem to have. And I'm very grateful for that. I'm the kind of heel where, you know, I could spit on a child. I would never do that. And they'd be like, yeah, Vicky! And I'm just like, you know what? We're just gonna stay as is, okay? I am Vicious Vicky from the dark side, and if you like me, let's go. And that seems to be like what is happening. So I've been trying to put out, like, you know, these vignettes. I teased it for a while at first. So I put out a bunch of vignettes where I didn't say anything. You know, it was just music and audio, or I'm sorry, audio and visual, no speaking, nothing verbal. I did that for a while until I just came out one day and it was, you know, this cloak and, you know, this really cool different gear. And I want people to ask questions. I want people to know why. And now I'm trying to start diving a little bit more into it. Like, okay, you know, so something came over me and it twisted my brain, right? Where I couldn't speak and I couldn't say anything. Something came over me. And then, you know, now I'm at the stage where I'm more vocal now, because now that you know something came over me, and now that you know I have this dark side, now I can really act on it, and I can talk to you, and I can let you know what I'm feeling, and I can do all that. So there's layers to this character, you know, and I'm a very, like, if I see it being done, you know, here, I pull back, if that makes sense. If I'm going to, you know, if I put on my TV screen, I'm like, oh, yep, never mind. I'm not going to do that because I want to be different, you know. So that's why I've been peeling back some layers of it again. You know, I was going full-fledged with certain things, and I kind of pulled back a little bit, trying to reinvent it still. So it's a work in progress. It's being very well received. And I'm excited for me because it's different. It was uncomfortable. It was new. I had to really think, and I still have to think about this character. And for the last couple of years, I didn't have to. So it's more of a challenge for me and a proving point to prove to whoever's watching me that I can be versatile and I can be different and I can do different things. So that's really what sparked it, was letting people know that I can act if I need to, you know?
Yeah. And I respect that because, of course, you know, there are a lot of great characters in wrestling who have stood this test of time because they've been able to evolve into different things and not stay the same. Mm-hmm. So the idea that you're doing that, you know, at this point of your career pretty much shows that you're game for anything. And it's so funny whenever I think about you in this dark mindset with your character, I just remember feeling like this is such a shock because it felt like only a couple months ago you had a bunch of children in New Jersey screaming for you as a champion and they were so happy to see you, and I was just like, whoa, like this is a jump. Yep. But either way, you know, it shows that you're able to evolve. And I like that, you know, in a wrestler, like, keep, you know, it keeps people interesting and it keeps everything fresh. Yes. And I think that's amazing that you were looking for ways to consistently improve and ways to not be like everybody else, because even now, wrestling fans have a tendency to sort of pick out similarities and be like, oh, this person is like this person, is like this person, is like this person. Mm-hmm. And wrestling does have a tendency to have a lot of, you know, characters or characterizations that pop up again, even though I don't feel like it's sort of like, you know, like a plagiarism type thing or we're just trying to copy off of this person. They're just doing what works with them and it just so happens to match something else. But honestly, you know, people just do what works for them. And I just think that's great that you've evolved your character into what it is now. And in the comments, we have Front Row Mafia Indie Wrestling Junkies saying, the move to the Devil's Daughter was the move, in all caps. The story needs to be told. Long-term storytelling we look forward to. So, yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, people love it. So, you know, as long as people love it and they love you, then that's all that matters. And that character work is definitely going to show. So, what are some of your hobbies outside of wrestling?
So, it's so funny because I always say this to, like, my friends and family where I'm just like, I don't do anything. Like, I literally thrive on sitting on my couch and doing nothing, hanging out with my dog and my boyfriend. I'm always with my family and my second family who are, like, they're, like, family friends. And that's, like, it. Like, I don't, you know, I go to the gym and, like, that's, like, the highlight of my day. But, like, you know, once in a while, me and Rob will do something, like, for fun. Like, maybe go to an arcade or a movie. But I'm, like, super content with doing nothing. Like, I don't get, once in a while, don't get me wrong. Like, yeah, you want to go out and do something. But I'm, like, so okay with just sitting on the couch, playing my Switch, you know, like, just chilling, you know. Right now, our newest thing is we're rewatching The Sopranos for the 100th time. I've seen it a million times. But we're rewatching that. So that's, like, the new thing, you know. And if Rob's watching this, I think he is. Like, I live off food. Like, I just, like, that's just, all I care about in life is food. And it's, like, I don't know if it's a problem or what, but, like, every question that comes out of my mouth is, what do you want to eat for dinner? Or what do you want to eat for breakfast? Or, like, it's like, we're not even sleeping yet. And you're asking me about dinner tomorrow, like, you know, like, so I find that as, like, a really funny thing. But yeah, in the summer, I love to go to the beach. That's, like, one of my favorite things to do. But yeah, so I would just say hanging out with my family and my dog.
Yeah, that's pretty valid. You know, like some people in life are just homebodies and they just like to chill. Like I like to do that too, but eventually I have to get out of the house.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. That drives me crazy. Like, okay, I want to go, like, I'll go to the mall or like I'll go shopping. I do that a couple times a week where I just go to the store just to go, you know, because I work from home. So I'm home all the time. So that's why I like going to the gym and like going to visit my family or like, you know, going to the store, like those are, besides wrestling, those are what I do. But wrestling's been a huge part of my life for 5 or 6 years now. So that's, without it, I don't know, man. I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and let me just take this time to say that I love you and Rob as a couple. Like, aww. For those who don't know, this is Rob of the Bob Culture Podcast. He is an amazing host, and he is a part of the reason why I'm here right now as a podcaster, because he was very supportive in the beginning 4 years ago. And so the idea that you two are, like, so happy just makes me happy, and he's just so sweet. I was so happy to meet him at Survivor Series
last November.
I was so excited. I was just like, I finally met him in person. We've been talking online for years, so the fact that we finally met each other in Chicago was just like, yes.
I love that.
Yeah, like I love you guys as a couple. You guys seem to make each other really happy, and I just love, so I'm just like, yay.
Me too. That's me. That's why when I found him, I was like, get over here. Like, you ain't going anywhere.
Absolutely. I love it. I absolutely love it. So what do you have a great pride in where you're from? Because I heard you talking about how you're from New Jersey, and I do have a lot of friends who are from New York and stuff, and they say a lot of stuff about New Jersey. But since I'm from Alabama, you know, I really don't have a dog in that fight. But do you have a lot of great pride in where you're from as a New Jersey woman?
I do. And I always did. I'm from Belleville, New Jersey. So that's like right on the outside of New York City. So that's where I grew up for most of my life. We moved when I was like 21, 22. I'm 30 now. So that's like my heart and soul. I have a few, like, I, you know, people I grew up with and people out there, but one of my like best friends ever, you know, we've been friends for like 20 years. She still lives out there. So when I go visit her, I get to go to Belleville, and I get to, like, you know, be in my hometown, which is always so cool. Just to be back home and whatnot. But yeah, I'll always be proud. I'll always be that Jersey strong, like superficial, like Italian Jersey chick. It's just always going to be in me. I don't know if I can fully get rid of that part of me, but I'll always be proud. Always.
That's wonderful. Like, I've never been to New Jersey, like, yet. But I'm sure at some point, I'm going to make it there. Like, I know I'm going to make it there because I've been everywhere else. So New Jersey is definitely on the list.
I've never been to Alabama, so I would love to go to Alabama.
Oh, cool. No, that would be amazing. I love how in the comments someone said, hey, yo, Obama girl, roll tide. Oh, my goodness. We've been going through a lot down here between the cold weather and Nick Saban retiring. It's been a lot, but it's okay. We're going to make it. We are definitely going to make it. So, I did notice that you did at one point have a WWE tryout. What was that experience like, and what did you learn from that? And of course, would you ever try out again?
Yeah. So hell yeah, I would try out again. I'm working on it. but so I was 8 months in when I got that call. So all I did was just follow the guy that I was valeting at the time. He got some opportunities. He didn't get a tryout, but he got like a tryout match at NXT. I think he wrestled Keith Lee, and he had all these emails and stuff. So he just thought he was helping me, and he just gave me the emails, and I was reaching out to people. And then I applied on the WWE Recruit website just to do it. Like, I did it before I was even a trained wrestler, you know? Like, I just did it, you know? And they reached out to me. And granted, now at this point, I have training under my belt. I had a school I could put down, you know, all that stuff. And they invited me. So I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, all right. So I told my coach, he's like, how'd you get that? I'm like, I applied. I don't know. And this was, at the time, he was just about to get hired by them to be a producer, too. So, like, he didn't pull any strings or anything. Because my coach at the time just wanted me to be ready, you know. And I wasn't. And rightfully so. He had every right to say that to me at the time. He was like, I don't think you're ready. And I really wasn't. You know, I was so green and whatever. So they got me ready. And Danny Moff played a huge part in that for me, getting me ready. Because he was one of my lead trainers at the time, was Moff. And Sean Donovan, Mario Baccara, and Pat Buck. But they all molded me, and they really, I will say, Moth, like, worked my ass off, like, to get me ready for that tryout. I did cardio every single day. I did the freaking Stairmaster every single day. Anything cardio-wise that I could prepare myself for, just so I had my wind, I did. I spoke to a few people who have been to tryouts and asked them what it was like, and they just said, be ready, be physically fit with your cardio. So I was ready. I had no issues. I had no issues of stamina, no issues of strength, nothing. And they gave me a wristband. Everyone had a wristband, and I was number one. So I had to go first for everything. And I was like, oh my God. I remember when I got there, as soon as they handed the wristbands, I was like, there's no way. I was like, there's no way. I was like, there's no way. I was like, why would I have a number? Obviously, we're going in order. So I started low-key panicking a little bit, you know? I'm just like, oh my God. I had blonde hair at the time, and like, it wasn't my time to show them who Vicious Vicky was, because I didn't know who the hell I was at all yet. But I made the best of it. You know, I did the drills. I did everything that I could. And I don't think I shit the bed, you know, like, pardon my French, but I didn't, you know. And I remember, you know, William Regal, like, locking up with William Regal and working on things, and him, you know, I asked him, like, what do you think, or, like, what advice do you have? And he said, just the little things, because he watched, like, a couple of my tryout matches and everything. I still have a notebook from that tryout that was full of all the stuff. And I always share this. There's one thing, and if I ever am in a room with him again, I'm hoping down the line, Norman Smiley, he said something, and I'll never forget it, because I want to get better, and I'm listening, and I'll never forget this for my tryout. I was coming down the ramp in my little, you know, old school black and blue Vicious Vicky getup, and walking down, and I didn't really have a shtick yet, you know, like, I was just a generic creator wrestler from SmackDown vs. Raw 2007, like, you know, like, I didn't have anything to me yet. You know, I heard him say, what's the gimmick, to somebody he was sitting next to, and I never forgot that, because I know that when I come through the curtain, like, there's a few things you need to know, you know, or before the lockup happens, like, there's a few things you need to know. And it's like, what's my gimmick, and am I heel or babyface? And those are two things that I always try to establish, which is common sense. If there's wrestlers watching this, like, it's common sense, but it's little things that, like, people forget, you know? So that was one of the biggest takeaways I had from that. I never forgot that. Just always being ready. And there was a point of time where I was dealing with, like, a lot of anxiety and, like, a lot of different, like, feelings. This was years after the tryout, but I was in a really good headspace at that time. So this was December 2019, I had the tryout. I was in a really, really good headspace. I was younger, I was fitter, you know, I was more motivated. And now I feel like I'm more seasoned, and I wish that I could do it now, but with that girl's body, you know, but, you know, I'm always eager and hopeful for more opportunities, and, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. I feel like, you know, that it takes a lot of courage to do something like that, especially, you know, when you're in your infancy with that. And I think that's amazing that you had the courage to actually go and do it. And the fact that it went so well, you know, in your first go round, and you took everything and absorbed everything, you know, as you were learning it, is pretty cool. And now it's pretty, you know, apparent that you've applied everything that you've learned, you know, over your time to where you are now. And now you're gaining, you know, so many flowers. You've gotten, you know, your championships. You've won so many things. You're so accomplished. You've wrestled almost all over basically all over the country at this point. And you're even ranked on Women's 250. So, I mean, you have done a lot in all of this time. And I think that should be, you know, commended and uplifted a whole lot more. And I'm more than sure you'll get signed somewhere. Like, I just know it. I feel it in my bones. And
I'm hoping 2024 is the year.
I feel
I'm really hoping. Because it's like, it's one of those things where, you know, like I said before, like you want something so bad, right? And like they always say, like, when you want it, go get it. And it's like, well, I'm going to get it. I'm just waiting for it, you know? So every day.
Absolutely. And then you've wrestled on AEW and so many other places. So it's going to happen. Like, I really feel like it's going to happen. So, yeah. So how do you feel about the state of women's wrestling now in 2024? What's great about it and what can be improved upon it in your opinion?
Yeah. So women's wrestling is just hotter than it's ever been ever. I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's amazing. I love that women can empower women and get behind other women. You know, I feel like there's no, like, nasty competition. At least the women that I've encountered, it's always, like, a friendly thing. And, like, friendly competition. Everyone's always rooting for each other, which I think is huge. You know, because sometimes people are cruel to women and they don't realize it. And I think that, you know, women have the hard end of the stick with life and things and... You know, not to say that, you know, men don't deal with battles and stuff too, because we all do. But, you know, women being able to be as powerful as they've been in not just wrestling, but just in the world. And to see how these women's wrestlers evolved and everything over the years is just incredible to me. You know, I think the amount of women that are getting opportunities is increasing. And I think now a lot of these promotions, you know, that are more professional are running out of room for the women, which is a good problem to have because we never had that problem, you know? So I'm really grateful that there's more than one platform to wrestle on. I'm really grateful that there's, you know, multiples of women in locker rooms now, that there's not just one. Most of the shows I'm on lately, there's more than one women's match, which is huge, at least on the independents. So that is appreciated. If there's any indie promoters who do that, thank you. Yeah, I'm just grateful to be a part of this bracket. The girls that I came up with in the last 5 to 6 years, like Notorious Mimi, JC Storm, Gabby Ortiz, you know, Christina Marie, you know, these girls are really good. And to be in that class with them and to watch us all succeed in different ways and different avenues is huge, man. And, the future is super bright for women in wrestling. It really is.
Absolutely. Like, I just know, like, watching, it's even different from what you see on programming. Now, of course, you know, socially, we've gotten bigger outside of just regular television with streaming and stuff like that. But even with so many other areas in the indies and also in mainstream television, there's still so much more women there, and they're allowed to be as strong and as badass as the men are, which is something that I've been waiting for my entire life. So I am living in an embarrassment of riches to even be able to even watch it, less more even being a content creator in this space, because this was not what I expected of my life 4 years ago. But just being able to see women, you know, be as amazing as they are, you being amazing as you are, it's just a blessing. And it just makes me, you know, want to go harder and makes me want to just, you know, explore the treasure trove of their stories to figure out how it is that they, you know, became a wrestler or what their motivations are or what they want to do for the future. It's just all incredibly amazing. And to just watch it, it's just incredible. And to watch everyone in their hard work, you know, come to fruition, it's just amazing. So women's wrestling is in a beautiful place, and of course there are always things that can be better, of course, because that's just life. But I am just really happy with where it is now. Like, I am just over the moon about it. I find that I get over the moon about it more and more each year. It's great. It's really great. I love it. So, one question that I do have is, if you could fight any women's wrestler from any era, who would it be and why?
Oof. So I always say Lita because I think it would be cool to be in the ring with her, just because I loved her so much. And like the fact that I wanted to be her so bad, and I can't do half the crap that she did. I probably could if I tried, but I just never tried or like trained to do it. But now I think I'm good. I think I'm good down here. I think I want to go up there. But I always say her just because, like, she really is the reason why I love it so much, and why there's a lot of things I took from her that I do today, you know, like mannerisms and things like that, that if you pay attention closely, like the hair flip and the things that I do, like I took from her, you know? And I think like, because of, there's so much love there, and because of this, like, it's actually like contrasting styles of wrestling. Like, I think it'd be really cool and really good. So from that era, I would say Lita. And I always said Charlotte Flair, because I do think Charlotte Flair is one of the best. And there's just so much about her that, like, and I love me some Becky. I love me some Rhea. Like, those girls are freaking amazing. Deonna Purrazzo is another one. Freaking love Deonna. But I always say Charlotte because she is just so good. And I appreciate the athleticism of wrestling, but I really appreciate the character work, and I appreciate the little things in wrestling more than anything else, you know, and those little tiny things that, you know, like Randy Orton. I'm not going to get in the ring with him, but he's another one. I could just study him forever. I'm just like, God, he's so good. That's just like the little things. And I think Charlotte's really good at that. And I definitely would love to wrestle Charlotte one day. Speedy recovery to Miss Charlotte Flair. But yeah, that would be cool.
Absolutely. That's definitely a who's who. And I would love that. That would be really cool. So in the comments, Front Row Mafia Indie Wrestling Junkies is saying, let's not forget Vicky is the reigning, defending, undisputed BCW Women's Champion. Also the ISPW champ, being defended at the Mecca this Saturday with many women's matches set. Yeah. So you do have a match coming up.
So I actually have two on Saturday. Two.
Oh my gosh.
Back to back. Yeah. So Saturday, 5 o'clock bell time, Richfield Park, New Jersey at the Mecca. It's the Knights of Columbus. I'm wrestling Ultraviolet for my BCW women's title. And then I'm going from Richfield Park to Barnegat, New Jersey. And I'm wrestling Adina Steele for my ISPW women's title. That is a 7 p.m. bell time. So Vicious Vicky has a very busy weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm more than sure you're going to do an amazing job for those who are listening in New Jersey, or will listen, you know, in the future over the coming, like, next few days. I'm more than sure you will come out with the victory in that regard. So what would you say you're upside down? Oh, no. Okay, now you're not upside down. Okay, you're fine. Yeah, you're fine now. Okay. So what would you say the future holds for you, Vicky?
I truly believe in my heart that I am meant to do this. And I get down on myself, like, not enough to, like, you know, quit or anything, because that's not an option. But I just know that I could be really great. And it's not a cocky thing. It's not even a confidence thing. It's just like, I just feel it, you know, that if I have like the proper, you know, training, as in like, if I go through like a, just an example, WWE hires me, I go through NXT, you know, and I'm trained from the ground up how they want me to be. Like, I'm a sponge, and like, I thrive off that. I listen, you know, like I do. And like, I have, like I said, Daddy Moff's like my forever coach, you know, and I constantly talking to him, picking his brain, asking him questions, sending him matches, you know, and I listen, you know, and I feel like I'm older, not that old, but I'm older, and I still have like gas in the tank, you know, and I feel like if someone just gives me that opportunity, like, I know I'll knock it out of the park. So the thing for me is just getting in front of the right people, you know, continuously meeting new people. You know, and trying and just making the towns and doing what I've been doing for the last 5 years, and just truly getting on my knees every single day and praying to God and just begging. I'm one of those that, like, you can't beg, like, you know, you can't beg in prayer. Like, that's just how I am, you know, how I was brought up. but I told myself I was going to get into wrestling because if I didn't do it, I'd regret it forever, you know, and where I'm at in my life now and the things that I've overcame in my life and things that I've faced, I just know that, like, I have to do this. I have to do it for little Victoria. Like, I can't not make it to the big time. It just wouldn't make sense for me. And I'm very hopeful for the future. And I try to be realistic, which is why I have backup plans. But I'm not going to stop until I get what I want. That's just my mindset right now. So hopefully the future's bright and big, because that's what I want. So.
Absolutely. Your future is big and bright, and you've already accomplished so much, like I mentioned before. Mm-hmm. You're fighting in title matches, like you're fighting in two matches this weekend. And ma'am, like, you're already doing it. And also, let me just say, as someone who just turned 30 this past September, 30 is not old. So you definitely have all of the time. And athleticism does not just stop at a certain age. Yeah, so you are doing just fine. 30 is not old, because sometimes I still wake up and, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I am 30 and I still feel, you know, young. So you know what? You are still at the right time for everything to happen for you. And that's that on that. Okay. Thank you so much, Vicious Vicky, for coming on the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, and just tell everybody where they can find and follow you and what you've got going on.
Yeah. So, as I said before, the matches are this weekend. You know, if anyone's in the area that's local, you know, please come by. That'd be great. Give me some support, buy some merch, you know, hang out. I am at Vicious Vicky on everything. So there's some underscores in there, but you'll find me. So that's me.
Absolutely. Well, like I said, thank you so much for coming on. And of course, know that you can follow me, your girl Stephanie Hardy, on Instagram and X/Twitter and Threads at Queen Steph Hardy. You can also follow the show, The Hardy Wrestling Podcast, on Instagram at Hardy Wrestling Podcast and on X/Twitter at Hardy Wrestle Pod. And this episode will be up audio-wise before the end of the night, so you can listen to it if you want. And of course, you know, this episode will be on the YouTube channel, so like, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel so you can catch this interview, you know, if you weren't able to catch it live. So of course, this has been the Hardy Wrestling Podcast, your favorite chill, positive, and passionate wrestling show with Stephanie and Vicious Vicky. And until next time, bye y'all.